I once was a great giant toad. It was probably sometime in the late 90s, I think. It was a warm, windy July night, and I found myself to be incredibly lonely, and thus, I climbed up the stars and swallowed the moon. We both have felt sorrow. I swear to God it is true. I know you have swallowed Luna too.
From Love and Radio and Luminary, you're listening to The Secrets Hotline. I'm Nick Vander Kolk. Today's special guest is author Tressie McMillan Cottom. She'll be coming a little later, but right now, let's go to the phone calls.
Hi there. I have a secret. I have a necklace. It's this gorgeous piece of bone with a mermaid burned into it, and every time I wear it, I get so many compliments. But the truth is that I stole it from a tiny boutique in the Outer Banks of North Carolina, and I don't mention that when I thank people for their compliments.
Hello, my secret is that on a regular basis, I steal things from stores, mostly on the weekends. Or on the weekends, it's like I binge on it. I'll go to like 3 or 4 stores. Sometimes like 2 of them will be the same store, but in different areas. And I'll steal like over $100 worth of stuff on a weekend, but I also rely on it during the week. And I'm really afraid of getting caught one day. And I've tried to stop, but I wish I didn't do it.
So, when I was in high school, my friends and I sent each other our college application essays to look over. And I had a friend whose essay was about coming out to his parents and how he had to sleep with a knife under his pillow and just like really heavy stuff. And without him knowing, I used it for myself and ended up getting into an Ivy League school with it. So bad. I'm just so ashamed and embarrassed about it that I never told anyone. Oh, and I also ended up dropping out of that school anyways. Okay, bye.
I am in love with my straight best friend. And I know that nothing's ever going to come from it. But just felt good to say it. So, thank you.
Okay, here's one. When I was in art school, I took a dare when I was first dating someone to eat about 30 mozzarella sticks in one sitting, and I'm lactose intolerant. So for 2 days, I didn't poop. And then in the middle of a figure drawing class, I had to run out and use the restroom. And I pooped so much that I couldn't flush. After flushing and failing and the water starting to rise, 3 girls walked in. I was terrified that they would discover what had happened. And the logical conclusion I came to was that I was going to stick both of my hands down there, break everything up, disrupt the blockage, and flush again, which I did do. I didn't think about wiping my hands off or anything in the bowl afterwards. So I ran out of the stall with my arms caked in my own poop in front of these 3 women who were still there. And they saw me and I just said, "I'm sorry, I'm sorry, I'm sorry," over and over again. And washed my arms off and ran back to class. Yeah, I went back to class. That was stupid. Should have just gone back to my dorm. Yeah. Okay. Thanks. Bye.
Hi. Leave my name out of this. But every time I poop, I have to smell my shit. And I think the worst part about it is that it's not sexual. All right, that's my secret. Bye.
Oh, hey, Secret Hotline. My name's Greg, and I have to admit, what people do when they're alone with nobody looking really scares me now. So thank you for that. I really appreciate that. Thanks for the nightmares.
Why are so many people all over the globe choosing the Secrets Hotline as their hotline? Find out for yourself by calling 1-929-SECRETS. That's 929-732-7387. Answering service also available at secretshotline.org.
One night I was walking home from a party with my friend. We both lived in the same building, so we wanted to walk home together. We're both pretty gender atypical gays. I don't really identify with the gender, and my friend is kind of an effeminate gay man. He would identify as a twink. And as we were walking back from the party, it's pretty cold out, and so I'm wearing like boots and nice skinny jeans, you know, but a winter jacket and a hat. And my friend, and I know it wasn't Halloween, but for some reason, my friend is wearing a pair of fairy wings and some cut off jean shorts that really worked his butt well. Anyway, we're walking home and we're walking arm in arm because it's cold out and we're reminiscing of our evenings. And I start to notice that there is a truck, a pickup truck, kind of idling behind us. Both of us have experienced violence for being gay, and definitely a lot of verbal harassment. And I, pretty much as soon as I turned around, the person driving the vehicle started to just shout like really terrible things at us. I remember he started out being like, oh, look at this little fucking fairy boy that we have tonight. And then just started, you know, yelling all sorts of terrible things at myself and my friend. And we know it's best just not to respond because it will only escalate things. And as we're walking, we're getting closer to our house and we don't want to go into our home with these people following us. And a friend of ours lives sort of around the corner through this like smaller street, not quite an alleyway, cars can go through it, but it's a pretty small street. And we decide that it's best if we just start running and run around the corner to our friend's house. So we begin to run down the block and we're almost there. And then the truck starts to speed up and kind of cuts us off near the alleyway, but we can still turn onto the sidewalk there. And as I'm turning, all I remember really is just sort of hitting the pavement. The driver had gotten out of the truck and sort of blindsides me down to the ground, and it looks as though he is about to wind up for a punch when I can only assume he realizes that I'm not a man. You could just see it was like something like wires crossed and he just, you know, imploded from within and realized like, oh, I can't hit someone who's not a man. He then pushes down my friend and yells at me like, oh, you fucking dyke or something like that. And you can hear his friend being like, come on, like, stop, like, let's go. And so he, you know, runs and gets in the truck and starts to drive off. I immediately got up and ran to memorize the license plate. And I memorized it. But both my friend and I have had issues with going to the police about being harassed or being assaulted and them not really responding or even responding negatively. So you know, initially we both just decided we weren't going to go to the police. And I'm ashamed to say that the following day after I was finished with work, I went to a police precinct and filed a report. My friend doesn't know that. I think he would be mad to know that I did that. 2 weeks pass and I don't hear anything about like this report, you know, and so then about a week after that, you know, 3 weeks out, I go into the precinct and I say, like, have you gone and done anything about this report? And they're like, well, we, you know, went and interviewed him and he had an alibi, so we think you maybe have the wrong person. It was just like nothing happened and it didn't really even matter. And now, you know, embedded in my mind is that license plate. I know that license plate now. And I know the make and model of that truck. It's maybe like a month after that I decide, just kind of randomly, it was very cold out. Like super cold out, but I just decided, like, I'm not going to take the subway home. I'm just going to walk home from work. And on my way home, I passed by this sort of vacant parking lot. And in the middle of that parking lot is this truck. Like, I'm like, I swear that's a truck. It had a weird color and was kind of an older make and model. And I was like, that has to be it. Oh my God, like, this is the fucking truck. Jesus Christ. And then I thought, like, well, if that is the truck, like, I want to do something, like, leave a note. I walk up to the truck. I'm looking, you know, like at the back of this truck. And at the time I smoked, I'm like, oh God, I really want a cigarette. And just when I'm about to pull out my cigarette, I see in the back of the truck that there is a gas can, which is really unusual in the neighborhood that we were in. It was just like not the kind of neighborhood that you would just leave things in the bed of your truck. But sure enough, there's a gas can. And I remember picking it up and being like, oh, this thing is like 2/3 full. I don't remember making a decision. It was just that I was doing it. I think that as a trans person, so often you have to decide, am I going to react to this hateful person or respond, or am I going to survive? And having to make that decision of survival kind of over and over and over and over again, it just creates this gray area of morality. You know, the reality is, like, I wish I could respond. I wish I could react. I wish I could punch the fucker in the face. But I can't. I don't have that physicality, and I just don't have that social capital. And so many times you get told that you're crazy, that this thing didn't happen, and you almost start to believe them. But in this moment, I think it was just, I have to do this. So I start to pour the gasoline into the bed of this truck and I lit that puppy up. I don't remember really looking at the fire. I just ran. It almost felt like a weird dream because it's just not something I would do. And so it just felt like it didn't even happen. And so then another day goes by, and then the day after that, I decide to go for a little bike ride past the parking lot. And when I pass the parking lot, there is just like a carcass of this truck there.
All secrets aren't created equal. When the world is kind of fucked up, sometimes having a secret is like the right thing to do.
It's currency.
Yeah.
Who are you?
Oh, that's a great question. very existential. I could get real deep on this, but I'll take it at face value, which is I am Tressie McMillan Cottom. I'm a professor and a writer in the United States of America in lovely Chapel Hill, North Carolina. I was talking with a family member, a cousin who I'm very close with, and we were laughing, saying that part of what's happened in society is that we actually don't know what a secret is anymore, because there is this expectation that you tell everything, even if no one's listening. Social media, et cetera, has made it so that the idea of secret isn't even really a thing anymore. And in fact, when somebody keeps a secret now, we think it's deviant. We're like, wow, they didn't tell us, that X happened. Chadwick Boseman dies.
At 43, after a valiant four-year fight, Chadwick Boseman lost his battle with colon cancer Friday, his wife and family beside him.
And like, there was this whole thing about like, he didn't tell anybody that he'd been sick. And they were like, well, what was wrong with him that he didn't tell people? And I found that really fascinating about what we thought should be a secret and what we thought should be public. And I think that's probably because we've decided that everything should be public. This weird thing happened at some point where we think that everything that isn't revealed is nefarious. Are you familiar with the, am I the asshole on Reddit?
I am, yeah.
Yeah, well, I love these. Okay. It's basically, I get to judge people with absolutely no social sanction at all. My favorite subgenre of Am I the Asshole is one where somebody has kept a secret. And my favorite one of recent note was one about a woman who had a secret bank account. The husband doesn't explain, but he guess has a bad feeling or something. He knows something is off in one of their bank statements. He goes looking for the quote-unquote lost money and finds out that his wife has been putting aside 10% of her income for the last 4 years that they've been married, even though they had agreed to share their finances and, co-manage them. He has called their friends. He's cussed her out, told her what a, huge violation of trust that this is, and is demanding that he now be able to put 40% of his own income in a bank account, and she agrees to that. She goes, okay, sure. If you want to do the same thing, that's awesome. Go ahead. And then in the course of the back and forth in the Reddit thread, the guy goes, of course, my friends agree with me, but she's left the house. She's refusing to sleep here. She says she kept the bank account because she's been in an abusive relationship before, and she doesn't want to, ever be in the situation again where she needs to leave and she doesn't have the means to do so. His last edit here is, yeah, we're probably getting a divorce. Okay. Yeah, he was already always getting a divorce. I mean, like, that was not a question. that's just not, people don't find themselves getting a divorce. He knew he was getting a divorce when he started. But what I found fascinating was how, there were tons of people in the comments. And this one was actually pretty evenly split for how these things go. Usually there's just like a clear, like, yeah, no, you're the asshole. But this one, there was a lot of, well, I can see how if you agreed to share, put all of your money in a joint bank account, that is a violation of trust. And I just kept going, no, it's that is actually so culturally relative to me that I couldn't believe that there are people who thought that this was like this straightforward violation. It's like, to me, the power imbalance in a heterosexual relationship is always such that a woman has to have some economic means of her own. And you just have to assume that if she's working and she's a sensible working adult person, that she's probably putting away what we would have called, pen money, is what my grandmother or something would have called it. What I found fascinating was all of the women, once I said that, it was almost like I kind of gave permission to admit that that was the case. So like all of these women for days after were responding to me going, oh, well, yeah, no, absolutely. Like my grandmother on the day I got married, gave me a secret $50 or a secret treasury bond, when I got married to seed my, security money or.
So you could escape. You wouldn't be financially dependent on your husband.
Yes. And these are like hard-earned lessons from like, women in your family who you presumably trust. And like all of these women start to admit that like, yeah, oh yeah, no, I definitely, you know, I've got a secret credit card. I've got a CD. I've got a, you know, yeah, because you know, I have to sleep at night kind of thing. And I was stunned by all of the men who were like, never heard of it.
Oh, hey, this is Greg again. I want to confess something else, because this is the Secrets Hotline. I don't really get jealous of anybody ever, because I can't believe I'm saying this, but because everybody who achieves some success that I know, I actually think that I have something to do with it.
That's it for now. But as long as there are secrets in the world, the hotline will be open. Share yours or leave feedback at secretshotline.org or by calling 1-929-SECRETS. That's 929-732-7287. For access to even more secrets and to hear the rest of my conversation with MacArthur Genius Award winner Tressie McMillan Cottom, listen to the director's cut of The Secrets Hotline only on Luminary. Just go to luminary.link/secrets for a free trial. Tressie has a podcast of her own on Luminary called Here to Slay, co-hosted with Roxane Gay. Her most recent book is called Thick and Other Essays, and it's very, very good. The Secrets Hotline is produced by Andrew Gill and Phil Domhofsky with help from Cassidy Jackson. Our theme song is by George Langford. Stephen Jackson made the end theme. Other musicians featured in today's episode include Kate NV, Lucretia Dalt, and Shy Layers. I'm Nick Vanderkolk. We are a production of Love and Radio and brought to you by the fine folks at Luminary, all made possible by their members. Thank you. And of course, thanks to all of you who have called in. We do listen to every single secret, and it goes without saying this show would not be possible without you. For more, please visit our website, secretshotline.org, where you can sign up for our mailing list. You can also find us on Instagram at The Secrets Hotline. Thanks for listening, and you've got this.